Good evening and welcome to our evening Bible study on this Wednesday, the 29th of April. Allow me to share with you, we're going to be speaking about Israel and the church tonight. And so let me ask you to take your Bibles, if you will, and find Luke 21. And then when you have your Bible open to Luke 21, be finding the 29th verse, and we'll be reading through the 36th verse tonight. So Luke 21, beginning in verse 29, "And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree, and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see, and know of your own selves, that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight unto us. We thank you for the opportunity to be studying your word together as we live in this current pandemic time, not knowing what the future holds. But Father, we are so thankful that you hold the future. And Lord, we're thankful as a child of God we can know the future because you have given us a book that enables us to know what the future holds. Lord, as we think about our future, Lord, may we be preparing our hearts. May we be understanding the times. May we have an ear to hear and a heart that's willing to understand and a heart that's willing to be transformed by the power of your amazing grace. Lord, we pray that you would be merciful upon us. Lord, we pray that you would come quickly for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Family and friends, I pray you know that about 30% of the Holy Scriptures is prophecy, and most of that 30% is end time prophecy. And I pray that you've read your Bible enough to know that God's Word speaks more about our generation than any generation that's ever lived or will live. And so you might be wondering, why would the Bible say so much about the final generation? And I like to share with you that one reason is because there is more people alive on this earth right now than at any other point in the history of the world. Secondly, this current pandemic has brought light to the fact that this is the most severe time in human history. Now understand, this is the only one who can foretell the future is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is also the one who controls the future. And the Bible is the only book in the world that can foretell the future. And I'm well aware of the fact that other people and other religions claim theirs is the right religion, yet they cannot produce a book that can foretell the future 100% accurately every time. And so one of the great comforts we can have during this time in which we're living is knowing that the reason we have a book that can foretell the future is because our God controls the future. And so he has given us his word, the Bible, so that we can know what the future holds. That's a very comforting fact to me, and I pray that's a comforting fact to you as well. You see, thousands of years ago, he told us what the end of the world would look like, and it's happening right before our eyes. Now, tonight we're going to speak about Israel and the church. Now, speaking of Israel, we need to understand their existence is a phenomenal miracle that has taken place in our lifetimes. And I know there may be some listening who are younger than when Israel became a nation, but it still is the generation when Israel became a nation. So their existence is a miracle, and they have to exist for the end to come. And yet, they didn't exist for 2,000 years, and Israel's rebirth in 1948 was an answer to Bible prophecy that has allowed the end to happen. This is what the Bible says regarding Israel's rebirth in Isaiah 66 and 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And then Zion is another name for Israel. So Israel was reborn, and it happened in one day, just as God said it would. Now allow me to share with you some Bible facts about Israel as we begin tonight. Number one, Israel is the only nation created by God. There has never been another nation created by God. In fact, Israel's existence, do you realize that Israel's existence proves the existence of God? I know there are many people today who say, where is God? There is no God. And there are people today who deny God. But friend, when you see Israel, you see God. Her existence proves there is a God. Now, and it all began in Genesis 12, beginning in verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so this is where Israel started. They were began by God. Number two, they are in an everlasting covenant with God, an everlasting covenant that is still in place today in Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. We read, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so you see, this means that Israel is both a land and a people, and God says they both belong to Him. And He calls it His land, and He calls them His people. Now, a Jew can't be saved unless they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but Jewish people are special by covenant. Now, family and friends, understand God loves all people, but the Jews are special people by covenant, and so you're not saved unless you receive Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin, as we talked about last week, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior. But when you see a Jew, you need to bless that person. You know, the greatest need today, one of the greatest needs, is we need to be praying for Israel. We need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, because they're a special group of people by covenant. Number three, here, speaking of third fact I want to point out to you, is that Israel and the Jews have blessed the world more than any other nation on earth, because God said in Genesis 12 and 3, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, let's ask the question, is that true? Well, here are the three gifts, just three, that Israel has given to the world. Number one, they gave us the most important man in human history, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Savior is a Jew. I don't know how any Christian could be anti-Semitic, which means against the Jews, when our Lord and our Savior is a Jew. Number two, they gave us the most important book in the world, the Holy Word of God, our Holy Bible. And every word in this book was written by a Jew. This is a 100% Jewish book that has given us light to live our lives by. And number three, they gave us the church. When the church started on the day of Pentecost, 100% of the people in it were Jews, and then they let us join the club. So they gave us the three most important, they gave us three very important gifts. They gave us the most important man in history, Jesus Christ. They gave us the most important organization in human history, the church, and they gave us the most important book in history, the Bible. Number four, fourth fact regarding Israel. Israel is God's prophetic supersign and stopwatch. And we spoke about that in the message a few weeks ago, God's master calendar. Now this is what Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Well, the Jews were defeated in AD 70 by the Roman Emperor Titus, who was a Roman general at that time. And the Jews were scattered all over the world, friends. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Well, that means back in 1967, and I sure hope you pay attention to history, in 1967, when Jerusalem came back into the hands of the Jews, it announced that the times of the Gentiles was fulfilled. Now, we've seen this happen again in our lifetime, just as, and Jesus prophesied it right here. The last days in God's mind began in 1948 in a single generation. We'll see all the end time events fulfilled. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus says, and he's talking about the end times. Look here again at Luke 21:32. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." And so listen, he was talking about the end times. And he wasn't talking about his generation because they all died. Now, people will say things like this: "Well, Pastor, every generation has had signs of the end times." And they're right, they have. They've had earthquakes in prior generations. They've had famines. They've had some crazy leader that thought he was the Antichrist. But the end generation won't have signs, friend. They will have every sign, and we're seeing that fulfilled. One of those things is pestilences. And this current pandemic is one of the pestilences that is going to come upon the earth as part of the end time signs. And so again, the Bible says that the end will happen in one generation. So the question for us becomes, well, how long is a generation? In Psalm 90, verse 10 can help us here. It says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years." In the Bible, a generation could be 40, 70, or 100 years. 2018 was the 70th year after Israel became a nation. Now understand, and Jesus said that generation will not pass away before he returns. And we just read that a man's age is about 70 years. If by reason of strength, there'll be 80 years. And so certainly there have been, we know that we're in that time. And this is what the Bible says. This means the end times are compressed period of time in God's eyes, so we can know without doubt that we are coming down to the end. And so what does that mean? That means that the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church is a specific New Testament revelation. And yet we find events in the Old Testament that help us picture what the rapture of the church is going to be like. You see, way back there in Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, we read in Genesis 5 and 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then we remember that Elisha and Elijah went for a walk, and Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Both of these truths picture what is soon to take place for today's Christians. the rapture could occur at any moment because there is no biblical prophecy left to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church to take place. All the signs that were spoken about by Jesus Christ and to his disciples in his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24 and 25 have been and are continuing to be fulfilled. For the church, they've been fulfilled. There's still some things that take place for Israel, but that'll take place during the tribulation period. And beyond that, for many centuries, the scattered Israelites, once claimed by God as his covenant people, had no country. But right after World War I came the Balfour Declaration, giving and commanding the Jews to return to the Promised Land. And in 1948, as mentioned earlier, they once again became a distinct sovereign nation. Thus, the fig tree spoken of by Christ in our scripture here, and also in Matthew 24 and 32, where he says, "Learn the parable of the fig tree." And here in Luke 21, 29, he says, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." And now pay attention to this next verse. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so Jesus says his word will never pass away. Therefore, we can take him at his word. We can know 100% certain that the Bible is true and what Jesus said is going to come to pass. And Jesus used this passage of scripture in this text, especially about the fig tree, to illustrate and help us understand once again that Israel began to blossom when they returned to their homeland in 1948, a nation born in one day, just as the Bible said, Isaiah 66:8. And this fact is a proclamation then of the near return of Jesus Christ. And so you see, friends, we can say with certainty we are very near the hour of the rapture of the church. And allow me to share with you, as we continue to talk about Israel and the church, some prophecy from the book of Hosea as it pertains to Israel. And Hosea predicted and prophesied in Hosea 6 and 10 that a day would come when the Jews would return to their homeland and that they would come back in a state of unbelief. But even though God's prophet said they would remain in a state of unbelief or return in a state of unbelief, it would be the foreshadowing of the day when God's chosen people would be regenerated. Right now, Israel is in a state of Loami. And if you know anything about the book of Hosea, you'll know that Hosea was told to name his children some very specific names, and those names hold great importance for us. And one of the names that Hosea was to name his child was Loami, and Loami means "not my people because of their unbelief." And so right now Israel is Loami, and that is, they're not God's people because of their unbelief. But God's prophet Ezekiel prophesied that the day would come when Israel would be given a new heart, because God said in Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." So Ezekiel is prophesying about a day. Now Hosea shared with us, if you will, the time when Israel would return to their land in a state of unbelief. And Hosea had to name his son Loami, "not my people because of their unbelief." But God says here through his prophet Ezekiel that a time is coming when he's going to put a new heart, and Israel shall know their God. And when that day comes, Israel once again become Ami, which means my people. And God told Hosea to name another one of his children by that name. So you had Lo-Ami, not my people, because of their unbelief. And then Ezekiel prophesied that they would believe and come to know God, and God would give them a new heart, and they would become Ami, my people. And so I say again to you, how very near the hour we must be to the rapture of the church. And friends, it's the next great event in God's prophetic calendar. One day soon, we who are alive are going to be caught up into the air to meet Christ in the air. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Now, if you are alive at the time of the rapture, which is very near, you will be like Enoch, who was simply snatched away. You will immediately be carried away in joy because, literally, Scripture tells us we shall be changed. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this moment in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. And he writes, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And friends, it's just that quick. In the twinkling of an eye, does that mean when the lid goes up, goes down and comes up? Or is it only when it goes down? Or, the point is, it's going to happen just very quickly. Boom. In a twinkling of an eye. And I know a lot of Christians today who are excited about the coming rapture and are looking forward to it, and rightly so. Well, we should be excited to go home to heaven. And then there are others, though, who are wondering, well, you know, what happens for the Christian after he is raptured? Well, God tells us that each and every Christian is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Now, dear Christian friend, I want to reassure you, don't panic as some have and think, oh, God is going to punish you for all the things you've done wrong in life. Hallelujah, that's not what this judgment is about. Your sins, if you've come to repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were forgiven at that moment. Your sins were judged at the cross. You were forgiven of all of the sins of your past, any sin you might have in your present, and said, the Lord tarry any sin you will commit in the future. You have been forgiven because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's why when we confess our sins, it's never to be remembered. It's over. Well, once we've confessed it, it's over. And God doesn't remember it no more. So friend, why should we? And the fact is, we do remember some things that we did. But I can assure you, God doesn't remember it. And so what's going to happen then when you as a child of God and me as a child of God appear before the Lord's judgment seat is this. We're not going to appear before the Lord's judgment seat to be punished or judged for sin, because that's already been done. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and Christ is going to review our lives. And the Bible says in Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so one day, friend, if you can picture it, you and I, at separate moments, we're going to stand before God, each in our own time, and God's going to review our lives, and we're either going to be rewarded for all the things we did with the right heart motive for Christ, or we're going to suffer loss. All the things that you and I did with the right heart motives that brought glory to God, we're going to receive rewards for. And all the things we didn't do right that did not bring value or glory to God, They're all going to be burned, as the Bible says, like wood, hay, and stubble. And family and friends, Scripture speaks of the rewards as crowns. Now, did you know there are five crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament that can be earned by any believer? And so the first crown, there's an incorruptible crown. The second crown is the crown of rejoicing. The third crown is the crown of righteousness. The fourth crown is the crown of life. And the fifth crown is the crown of glory. Friends, the incorruptible crown is given for faithfully running the Christian race for Jesus, of living for Him and for Him alone. And you want an incorruptible crown, and so you're striving for that. You're faithfully living for Jesus day in and day out. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:25, he said, "They all run, but I run not to obtain a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown." And so the incorruptible crown is given to the Christian who is faithfully running the race. And then the crown of rejoicing is given to the Christian who's a faithful soul winner. It's the soul winner's crown. And so if you've shared your faith with Christ and someone is to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's going to be a crown for you someday, because God used you, you allowed God to work through you, and someone came to know Christ as a result of your faith and your testimony. And there's going to be a soul winner's crown that you're going to receive in heaven. And then the crown of life is a very special crown that will be given to those who are martyrs for the gospel. And then that crown of righteousness will be presented to all who are in love with His appearing. You see, there are some Christians today who don't want Jesus to come just yet. They're not looking for Him to appear. They don't want Him to appear just yet. But then there are other Christians who've been living for Jesus all their life since they come to know Him. They're looking forward to Him coming. They can't wait for Him to get here. They've been looking forward all of their lives. And my daddy's like that, because, you know, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, all my father has talked about all of my life is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my daddy's been looking for the return of the Lord all of his life. And, of course, that means that I've been looking for the return of the Lord all of my life as well, and I expect Jesus at any moment. Friends, that crown will be the crown of righteousness that will go to all who love His appearing, and I hope you are one who is looking forward to seeing Jesus soon. And then the crown of glory is a crown that will be won by faithful pastors. And so, now friends, the crowns are there for us to receive. It's the very reason John encouraged us in 2 John 8 to take heed that we receive a full reward. It's the reason Paul encourages us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want you to understand something. Any one of us can receive a crown as a reward. That they're there, they're available. We just got to live the right kind of life. But tragically, there will be those in heaven who have a saved soul, but a lost life. Saved yet so as by fire. And Abraham's nephew, Lot, if you'll remember, who was residing in Sodom and Gomorrah, was such a one. Friend, he went into Sodom and Gomorrah, and we all know that he went in a very rich man, and he lost all that he had, and he went home to heaven because his life, it made no difference. He compromised at times with his faith, and therefore he was saved. The Bible says, "Yet so as by fire." Family and friends, let me encourage you to live your life and walk and run as one who desires to please the Lord, that you may receive God's reward. And so we have in God's dramatic prophetic program the rapture of the church. And then we've talked about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And then, praise the Lord, the greatest event of all is God's children will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this, and I pray that you are, but I know who this church is because I've talked about it before, but the church is the bride of Christ. And according to Revelation 19 and 7, the bride, which is made up of the corporate and collected members throughout the church age, taken to heaven at the rapture, makes herself ready for an impending event. Well, how is the bride or the church made ready? Well, she's made ready by clothing herself in the fine linen, bright and clean, which is said to be the righteous acts of the saints. That's what the Bible tells us. And this statement means that by this point in history, right before the second coming, the sum total of the bride, the body of Christ, is in heaven and has already gone through the judgment seat of Christ. And so we've been clothed in that fine linen. And this results in the, if you will, the bride being given fine linen that Revelation 19:8 says is the righteous acts of the saints. This is how his bride has made herself ready. Ready for what? Have you ever wondered that? We're told to make ourselves ready, but ready for what? She has made herself ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Thus, within the framework of the symbolism being used in Revelation 19, it means that the marriage of Christ and his church takes place just before the second coming of Christ back to this earth. And after all of these events take place, we, the church, as his bride, will begin our role in history of reigning at the right hand of Christ by accompanying him in his heavenly ascent from heaven on white horses, Revelation 19:14. That's what the future holds for all who repent and come to salvation by faith in Christ. That's what Scripture teaches. During the tribulation time, as they come down to the end of the tribulation, Israel is going to look up, and she is going to recognize her Messiah. And she is going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you remember the first time he came, she rejected her Messiah. He came the first time as the suffering servant. And he will come the next time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is what the Bible teaches. And so that's what the future holds for all who repent and come to salvation by faith. That's what Scripture teaches. So in these days of confusion, know that God has it all planned out. This is where the assurance comes in. Sit back if you're a child of God. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. And understand that while this world seems to be falling apart, the reality is everything is falling right into place, just as God said it would. Friend, God, if you're a child of God, God has got you in his hands, and you can rest assured, remembering those words, fear not. And we have nothing to fear in these times because God is in control and Jesus is coming soon. And so all the events that are presently taking place, you can rest assured and know this is just all part of God's prophetic program. God has written it in his word. He's shared it with us, and we've again preached the Bible from Genesis to Revelation tonight that you might know that you can relax, you can rejoice. You can know that soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight, for your grace and your glory, for the joy, Lord, and the peace that this brings, knowing that Christ is coming again. Lord, we've lived, some of us have lived, you know, myself, I'm 63, some of us have lived even a little bit longer, but Lord, we are in that generation that you said shall not pass away before the coming of the Lord, and oh Lord, what a joy it is to know that, Father, you are coming soon. What exciting things to look forward to, the glories of heaven. And, Lord, we are bursting at the seams, so it seems, to just, Lord, we can't wait. We're like a kid at Christmas in many points. Lord, we pray for those who do not know Jesus Christ, because that is our mission, that all people would come to know Christ. Lord, I'm certain many parents who are listening to this message are concerned for their children, and rightly so. And Lord, we pray for each family with that wayward child, that that child would come home to Christ, that that child would repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Father, we just pray for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we know that when the last soul is saved in the age of grace, the rapture will take place. And so, Father, we just pray for the souls that need to be saved, and they may be among our own family. And Father, we pray for our families to have an ear to hear, and for people to get their heart right and not to fear this time. For Lord, the glories that are before us are not worthy to be compared to the things that we're going through right now. And so, Lord, we just are so thankful tonight. We're so thankful to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. We're so thankful to know that you are in control. We're so thankful to know that you're a God who hears our prayers and a God who answers our prayers. And, Father, we're so thankful to know that we can rest assured knowing that you have it all under control. And, Lord, tonight we pray that these words would go out and bless some soul somewhere. And Lord, again, we just pray for your will to be done in my life and in each and every life, Lord, in this world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.